Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast.
Welcome, everyone.
Come one, come all.
If you've never listened before, we are a Grey's Anatomy podcast deep diving into every single episode. Currently, we are on season 10, episode 24, Fear of the Unknown.
It's the finale.
And it is our goodbye to our favorite character, Dr. Christina Yang.
Yes. This is her last episode that she is on the show.
Yes.
With her face.
With her face. She's referenced.
And there's some text messages.
But Sandra Oh is not on the show again.
I don't want to get too far into it. This was, I would say, though, in my top episodes of Grey's Anatomy
of all time.
It has everything I need.
Yes, I totally agree.
So if you're first time listening and you want to get more than just one weekly episode, you can do so by going to www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be an intern, resident, or an attending. These different levels will get you different levels of awesomeness. I never know how to phrase that sentence.
We always say like rewards.
For example, you can get access to our private Facebook group, where this week our lovely members showed their plants they've been growing during quarantine.
So wonderful.
So if you have houseplants and no one to look at them, please join our group. You also can get bonus episodes once a month. We do Zoom calls once a month. We also have co-hosts on quite often. And we have this great little section of the podcast called Post-Op, which is when the podcast ends, we call time of death. There's actually about 10 minutes more if you're listening on the Patreon app and you give $10 a month. This week's topic is going to be a little bit deeper dive on the reveal that Maggie gives to Richard. So we're going to obviously tell you what she reveals, but then we're not going to give too much more thought because it's in post-op.
Yes. Great job. Other ways that you can support the podcast or learn more or follow us, Instagram at the On Call Room Pod. Post updates about when we release new episodes. Sometimes we haven't done a story in a while. We should go live soon. I think it'd be fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah. So
we went live at Michigan's Adventures.
Oh, I forgot
last
about
summer.
That. It's probably been about a year since we've gone live. So
surprise, motherfuckers.
Yeah. So maybe we'll do that soon. Also, if you want to connect with us and send a longer form message, either concerns or like ideas about the podcast, or you just want to tell us how much you love it and you have a lot of things to say, you can do that at our website, www.theoncallroompod.com.
Yep. And also in regards to sending us messages, we would love our listeners, whether you are a patron or not, to send in your thoughts about Christina Yang. We are going to compile and make a really cool episode with all of your thoughts and submissions, and we've got some really good ones so far, but we'd love a lot more. So if you have any thoughts on Christina Yang, all you have to do is grab your phone, record a voice memo, and email it to us, which is theoncallroom@gmail.com. And to repeat, theoncallroom@gmail.com. We will add that into the episode. And if you are too nervous to talk or you don't want your voice recorded, just send us an email too, and we will read what you wrote.
Yes.
Think of it as like, it's not a eulogy. She's alive. It's like a you are her maid of honor at her wedding.
Oh, that's a good way to think about it.
She's marrying surgery. You're giving a maid of honor speech. Wow. Or a best man.
Yeah. Or like, you know, a toast, like a you graduated from something. And like, congratulations to moving on to the next step in your life.
And it has to start like this. To those of you who don't know me, my name is Abby, and I am so happy to be here today. Because that's how every speech starts.
Yeah. Yeah. Can everyone hear me?
I first want to thank the parents. Anyway.
I've known Abby for, what is it now, 14 years? Oh my God, we're old. and it makes me so happy.
I just can't believe she's marrying Sergi, her one true love. And Sergi, I swear,
if you hurt her.
Yeah. It's every
That's
speech.
Pretty much what
and,
it has to be.
And if you are the best man, it's kind of like, oh, so.
Remember when you and Sergi got drunk that one time?
And fucked?
Yeah.
I didn't
plan anything.
It's gonna be hard to follow that one. Yeah. Pulls up cell phone. I took some notes.
Or the ones where they don't like. So, Christina, man.
Or when they have all the papers and they're like, so I. She told me to keep it short, but I'll try to keep my 30 pages to a minimum. It's like, ha ha, funny, ha ha. Let me eat my food. This is what happens when you've been to like 200 weddings.
Oh my God.
Or what? You've been to probably like 15 and you feel the same way.
Oh yeah. Been to one and feel the same way. I remember I went to this one wedding and the maid of honor and the best man like gave their speech, but then like the whole wedding party was annihilated already and dinner hadn't even started. And like a groomsman was like, yeah, give me here and grabbed the mic and he started speaking.
Oh,
and then like a bridesmaid, it was like, shut it down, shut it down. It's not going well. And everyone was at their tables like, oh dear God. So
I had one where I just slowly backed out of the tent because I this bridesmaid was so drunk and I've taken enough photos. Like there was proof she had given a speech.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't hear it anymore. I had to leave.
Those are always really uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's like when you unzip your skin, you crawl out.
Yeah.
My soul, or I was still taking photos, but my soul had left.
Somewhere else, was outside the building.
Yeah. So anyways, that's what we are.
Oh, and the last way to support us is to leave a review.
Yes, please. Do that on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you leave reviews. 5 scalpels, 5 stars.
Thank you.
I have a podcast recommendation.
Great.
Okay, so I have a theory that all of the celebrities of the world are bored because they can't
do anything. They can't do their job.
They also are like, what's a way to get cash flow and like, you know, whatever. So there's all of a sudden all these new podcasts popping up and they're all really good. But I have 3 quick recommendations.
Okay.
Number one is called Smartless.
Okay.
It is Jason Bateman.
Oh, I listened to this.
Seth Hayes, yeah. And Will Arnett. I love them so much. So here's my question. Fuck, marry, kill Seth, Will, and Jason Bateman.
Shit. Hold on. Let me like pull him up real quick. Wait.
I'll give you mine while you... Well,
wait,
I don't
and Seth,
be
Seth who?
Seth Hayes. He's from Will and Grace.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's who I was like a little... Okay, go. You go first.
Okay, well, I'm going to marry Seth Hayes.
Okay.
I'm going to fuck Jason Bateman and I'm going to kill Will Arnett.
Interesting.
Are you going to fuck Will Arnett?
I was going to...
deep voice?
Yeah, I was going to fuck Will Arnett. I was maybe going to marry him.
Oh.
I don't know why. Did you ever watch the show?
I love when they make fun of his own voice.
Did you ever watch the show that he was in and it was on Netflix and it was like... Or maybe it was Hulu. And it was only... I feel like it was like only one season. It got canceled, I think. And what is that little... fuck, in LA, like outside of LA, what is the beach town?
Palm Springs.
No.
It's not a beach town.
No. Oh my God, I'm embarrassed right now that I can't think of what it's
Bree's
called.
Bree's Googling beach town outside of LA. Just look at Will Arnett.
I'm looking at it.
Look at his IMDb.
I am trying right now. Fuck, what was it called? There is a podcast ghost out there somewhere being like, who loves Will Arnett and is like, I know what show you're talking about.
I just find their banter, well, I wish the episodes were a little longer, but I think they're a great balance. And I love when they make fun of Jason Bateman and how he like grew up as a child star. And like, they just, I don't know, they've had great hosts too. Like they had Kamala Harris on, Maya Rudolph, who is great, Melissa McCarthy, Will Ferrell's was so funny. Anyways, I just loved it. So that's a recommendation. And then I also just discovered Phoebe Robinson has a new one, which she used to be on Two Dope Queens. She has a new one called Black Frasier. And she recently just interviewed Abby, is it Abby Jacobson? Who is it from?
Yes.
From Broad City on it. Yep. And then my last recommendation is one that is through Conan O'Brien's like podcast network.
Okay.
And it's called Dads. And it's not, I forget what the host's name is. He's a comedian, but it's not just for dads and it's not just about dads, but it's about dad figures, or like if your mom was single, like then she could be counted in this. But it's just about like how growing up with that figure or without, how that like messes you up or whatever. But it's funny too also. I don't know. It's really good. The first episode with Conan is like brilliant because I honestly think I'm in love with Conan O'Brien.
I was going to say, would you marry him?
Even though he is like... Him and I's babies would be transparent. They'd be so pale.
But would you marry him over...
No, I still would marry... Well, I...
Well, I didn't finish my thing.
Yeah.
Kill... I don't want to kill any of them.
Oh, my I maybe God.
I would maybe marry Jason Bateman only because
he's wonderful.
Well, I also feel like maybe he's kind of similar to John after listening to his second interview with Dax Shepard talking about how, like, he's really quiet at things. And then his wife is always like, so did you have a good time? And he's like, yeah, I had a great time. And Dax tells that story about how, like, on New Year's Eve, they invited Jason Bateman over and he ate a ton of food and laid on a, like, guest bed and left by 10 p.m. And Jason was like, I had a great time. So I feel like maybe similar, okay. You know? Oh, maybe it's called Flaked. Ah, it's called Flaked. And with Will Arnett, and I think it's 2 seasons. And so it was a comedy, but it didn't feel like a comedy. And it was created and developed alongside the executive producer of Arrested Development. Mm. And... It
sounds like you're reading off the website.
Well, yeah, I was just looking at it. It had 2 seasons.
Oh, I'll have to
watch it. It got mixed reviews, and like people didn't really like it. But I'm pretty sure he was in AA, or maybe he was an addict or something. Oh, it's about a self-help guru who's struggling to stay a step ahead of his own lies.
Okay, I'll have to watch.
Yeah, and it's in what is like? Okay, think of it. It's the beach. It's the beach that you go to in LA, not Santa Monica.
Oh.
Not like Malibu, but like it's where like artists and stuff are.
I mean, I
am so embarrassed right now that I can't think of it.
I can't help you. We're from Michigan, Bree.
I know, but I stayed there.
We're Midwesterners. We know North Shore Beach. We know Grand Haven City.
Grand Haven State Park and Hoffmaster. Yeah. For all you other Michiganders out there.
Yeah, shout out to
Or like
those.
Pure Marquette.
Yeah, yeah, Ludington.
Ludington
See,
Beach.
See, we know beaches.
I know beaches or like a beach in LA.
We need to change the topic.
Santa Monica. All that's coming up is Santa Monica and Malibu.
We need to change the topic.
Venice Beach.
Okay, there you go.
You know when something is like exploding in your brain you're like, you have to get the resolve. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a note. Like a
I
note
can see
that
you
needs
not being able to get off of it.
Yeah. I'm off of it now. Everyone was screaming, Venice Beach, you fucking idiot.
Hey, that's okay. They'd be like, oh, what are those Great Lakes? And and we'd be like, Holmes, Hero, Holmes. Ontario.
Michigan. Erie. Superior.
I think of that Lake Michigan as an L.
Yeah.
It's Lake Michigan, not Michigan.
You're on Ontario.
Because I feel like people go like, oh, you go into Superior. You know that they mean the lake. I don't know, like, you go into Michigan. I'm in it.
Yeah. I'm here already. Thank you.
Oh, God, geography.
One time, do you remember, like, being asked geography questions in, like, third grade? My, like, teacher had this, like, book of questions and... Someone would get it wrong and, like, go to the next person,
oh God,
you know?
Yeah. You'd be frantically.
Yeah. And it was, like, right before we had, like, break. And I got all of the questions and no one else got to go. And then I got a Smartie award. It was an award that said, you're a Smartie and you got a pack of Smarties.
Fuck, Smarties are so good.
Yeah.
I also remember geography, which I think about this often. So you'd be given, like, a blank map of, like, Africa.
Okay.
And you'd, you know, all of the—
This was more like high school, I feel like.
Was this? Okay.
Yeah, like geography in high school, where you had to name the countries.
The countries. Or, yeah, or, like, here's Europe, and they're all blank. So you fill them in. Here's what I would do. Rather than learning where they are and what borders what, and, like, oh, this one looks— Italy looks like a boot. No, I would create a very long sentence using the first letter— of every country. So like I would be like, okay, Italy, I. So I, and be like, I can't think of another country, but like I would make a sentence
like France.
Yeah, like I don't know what farted under the table. It smelled, you know, like I would make a weird sentence that made zero sense and remember the path in which I took. So then right when I would get the map, I would quickly go through the sentence before I forgot it, write the first letter. So then I would be like, okay, now I, at least I know what letter it starts with.
That's a very interesting.
That's more work.
I think, yes.
That's how I learned that though. And I didn't learn it. I just memorized it.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing. I feel like we always had like, they were like map tests or whatever. I remember in like ninth grade geography and you would go all over the world and you'd do like different parts of the world. And so by the end, you were supposed to know where every country was. But once you were done with that one, you forgot it. And you went to the next one and you were like, 2 weeks later, you forgot that one. And so
I still don't know that I could label all of the states on the East Coast.
Yeah, that one's hard. Well,
or like the Montana, Dakota section.
Yeah,
I just know they're big rectangles.
Yeah, it gets a little complicated. I remember getting really confused when I figured out where Colorado was. I was like, it's there? Like, I thought it was very north. You know, like, I thought it was like where Montana was.
I don't know that I could pass a United States map test.
You know what? I've done it on BuzzFeed and I can. And I'm very proud of myself.
How are we supposed to know that?
But the one thing I am very embarrassed about, I don't know if I've told this on the podcast, about the New England thing. Have I told you that?
I don't know.
So John and I were talking about, I think once like Salem or something. And John was like, yeah, like I would love to visit New England sometime. And I was like, Salem's in Massachusetts. And he was like, right. I would love to go to New England sometime. And I just kept saying like, it's in Massachusetts. And I, for some reason, thought New England was a state, but it's like a part of the country that is comprised of a bunch of states. And finally, John like was not, we were not connecting. And then I was like, it's not in New England. And then we realized I thought New England was a state. And I immediately facepalmed.
I think it took me far too long to understand the difference between Washington and Washington, D.C.
Oh, Washington State.
Right. And like, I still don't know if I quite grasp what D.C. is.
Yeah. Don't, like, there's something in the news recently about like vote. I listened to this long ass podcast about like voting and representatives and stuff. And I was like, wait, what in D.C.? Like, and I still don't get it. And I am not going to talk about it because I'm going to make myself sound like a total idiot.
This is how the education system failed us.
Dude, our education system is bullshit. I can sign my name in cursive.
Even I can barely do that.
It's just a line. It's a B in a line.
We've all seen your license. Yeah. What it was before, I don't know, adulthood and after.
Yeah.
My mom, speaking...
What's the quadratic formula? Is that what it's called?
E equals MC.
I don't think that's it.
That's like something to do with Einstein. My God, we are losing credibility so quickly.
That's the X equals B plus or minus the square root of B squared minus 4AC over 2A.
What the fuck does that even mean? Do you know what else blows my mind? Is that people...
I feel like my face is red.
Is that people understand math as a theory. Like math... Which, like, our patron, if she's still here, Laura, is going to be cursing our names.
Oh,
right
my God.
Now. But, like, math isn't just adding and subtracting numbers. Like, it's like, it's bigger than that.
It's so bad.
What?
The other day, a patient had paid $49 for their adjustment.
Oh, no, it's a hard number to do math from.
Because, like, we didn't have our insurance information yet. And then when we got it, realized it was going to be $29.14. So we knew there was going to be some type of a credit on her account.
Oh, no. Did you have to try to do quick math?
So I got my calculator out and I was like, okay, so you paid $49 and that one's actually supposed to be $29.14 and you also need to pay an additional $29.14. So I collected $19.86, which is totally not the right amount at all. And she called back later and she was like, I spoke with my husband and I think I actually owed like $9. There should have been a bigger credit or something. And I was like,
that's probably right.
Yeah, I think you're right. And so then Jenna did like very like thoughtful math that took like one step. And I got to the other, like the 986. I was like, okay, well, if you take 49 and you subtract 29.14, but then you add this and then you divide by this, I see where she's coming from. And she's like, I just like took 2914 like times two and like subtracted 49. And I was like,
That's like when you and I were figuring out, remember when we were doing payouts and we were just like, but I've paid this.
So where does it go? Where did it go?
Yeah.
It's not, I think it's incredible. Anyone who can grasp math as a theory.
Yeah.
I really, really, really struggle with it.
Yeah.
And if you want to sit down with me and have a conversation about vulnerability, I'm here for it.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, what is wild is that we can be respectively like successful in our own careers and have totally failed 75% of what I learned.
I mean, like, I stopped taking science courses.
Oh, I didn't take any in college.
Except my sophomore year.
Yeah.
I didn't take chemistry. Like, I didn't have to.
Yeah.
Also, when I went to Michigan State, I tested into no credit math. So I, had to pay to not get credit in a course to then take a math class with which I had to have multiple tutors for. Do you remember that that math tutor who would be in the library, that woman who wore those skirts? And everyone was very, her name was Cynthia, and everyone was very afraid of her.
No.
But she would just do my homework for me so I could pass the class. Yeah.
Well, I also like, yeah, I took crafts 1, 2, and 3 in high school.
Why not? And then, did a nice paper mosaic.
And then I still remember I chose one science class for college, like to get my one credit. And I don't know why, because I am terrified of bugs, but I chose the bugs class.
Oh, no.
And
no,
the
no.
lab was like, with bugs. Like, I think that this is why I'm fucked up. We took cockroaches. I didn't do this. My lab partner did. You tied a string around them, not like to hurt them. And then that string was tied to a piece of paper. And then you put like little like nuts and bolts, like that weighed whatever on it. And you would see how much the cockroach could pull, because cockroaches can pull like 500 times their weight, which is like crazy. But I remember just the visions of these cockroaches like crawling with these
weights.
That
sounds like slavery.
It sounds like, yeah, like what they did in Egypt. Like, yeah. Like what's the movie? Prince of Egypt. But like,
you know that cartoon movie?
You knew exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah. Like sand, water.
What's that beautiful song from that movie?
Deliver us. That.
Oh my God, the sound bars got so loud.
That's a great movie.
Anyways, so I don't know where I was going with that, but we need to take a map quiz. And you know, though, we are running a successful Grey's Anatomy
podcast. Honestly, we made ourselves sound like total idiots.
Yeah.
But my...
You're in grad school, bitch.
Well, there... And I'm, by the way, I'm taking research methods right now. And I just look... Today just was like, I hate research. Not even research anything, but it's just like the concepts of it all. It's good.
You're literally not even researching. You aren't even to that step yet.
No, and I was just like, I can't. I can't do this.
That's fine.
But you know what? I can.
You can.
Whew, I'm hot.
Yeah, so we should probably get into this.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one.
Do you want to take a break?
Yeah, I just need
a
minute.
Fill up your wine, everyone. This is the last time we're talking about Christine Yang. It's gonna
I thought you were going to say, this is the last time we're doing this.
We're fucking done. We're going to go back to math class. Okay, bye. We're back. Welcome to season 10, episode 24, Fear in parentheses of the unknown.
Ooh, I like how you said that.
Who would write a song and put part of it in of the unknown. Part of it in parentheses?
I feel like a lot of people actually do that.
Well. Short summary.
Yeah.
All right.
I can do
monologue,
it.
Which do we do first?
I'll do the short summary.
Okay.
The doctors of Grace Sloan Memorial Hospital bid an emotional farewell to the beloved Christina Yang. A possible act of terrorism rocks Seattle and causes chaos at the hospital. Meanwhile, Meredith makes a life-changing decision and one doctor receives shocking news.
Monologue by Christina Yang. He doesn't know that. He's an idiot. For all he knows, it could be the worst day of his life. You know how people say, who knows, I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. That seems pretty far-fetched until you have a friend who got hit by a bus. The point is, you never know what kind of day is coming. Whenever we think we know the future, even for a second, it changes. Sometimes the future changes quickly and completely, and we're left only with a choice of what to do next. We can choose to be afraid of it, to stand there, trembling, not moving, assuming that the worst can happen, or we can step forward into the unknown and assume it will be brilliant. Christina Yang.
When you read that, I thought, into the unknown. Okay, shotgun workup. Lincoln McNeil, end-stage heart failure. Marilyn, laceration blisters. Leanne Smith, pregnancy, arm injury, and rash. And then Mike, ruptured eardrums, peritonitis, bowel perforation, traumatic brain injury.
And just a note, there were plenty more patients, but they didn't have names, so we're I didn't include them. All right, we're going to say rounds, but we're going to do the episode not quite according to those. But here are the big things that happened. We have the bomb slash explosion. We have Christina's goodbye to everyone. We have Maggie's big reveal at the end of the episode. We have Callie in Arizona working with the surrogate woman. We have Alex kind of questioning his career. We have Bailey and the shutdown of her genome lab and the opening of the board position. We have April and Jackson and Catherine. Catherine talks to April and they talk about the baby. And then we have Mare and Dare's big fight at the end. Really sour note to end it on.
Yeah. So first notes.
First notes. You go first.
Mine is Christina is in the trailer with Owen and she hasn't left yet. Parentheses, obviously. But like she is saying she should have left.
Yep. Mine was pretty much that. But then also that we find out her and Meredith were out drinking until 2 a.m. the night before.
Yeah, that's my second note.
I said, I wish there had been an episode of that.
Oh my God. I love that she says, like, that was our goodbye. And
yes.
I love that that is her idea of a goodbye with Meredith. I feel like if we had to say goodbye, we would drink till midnight.
Yeah, because I think the problem with goodbye is like how, like, to have this meaningful moment, it's so much easier. That's hard.
Oh, it's super hard.
It never feels done.
No. And which we'll talk about in this episode, but.
Even like every time I end a photo session, I'm like, goodbye. Thanks again.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
You're great.
Is that a Midwest thing?
It's the Midwest goodbye where people like don't know how to say goodbye.
Yeah. I love Irish goodbying. It's my favorite kind.
I feel it's so mean.
But like at a drunken college party or like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a friend who always Irish goodbyes because goodbyes are so hard to her. Mm. Like she doesn't want like the good times to end. And so she doesn't know how to like excuse herself or say... Yeah. So she just disappears.
I want to be one of those people that just finds a couch and falls asleep on it, but I'm not. But that sounds like a dream.
I think I've been there probably once or twice if enough wine is involved or gin or whiskey.
My goal is to have you just fall asleep in the podcast.
Someday. It might happen tonight.
Irish goodbye it. Okay, so also I made it because, so we're just going to go through. So her and Owen are in the trailer. Obviously, they have been like with each other since he asked her to be with him, which I love. And I just said, this is the last scene with Owen and Christina talking to each other.
I know, and it's weird because... You think, like, they even talk about, like, maybe, like, somehow saying goodbye again or whatever. Like, we're not going to say goodbye here. Like, I got to go do shit. And, like, oh, goodbye. Like, last night wasn't enough or whatever. But it's weird having already seen this, knowing, right. Like, you just watch these episodes a little bit differently, knowing and picking up on, like, this is really the last moment they interact together.
Yeah, it's really...
Or like not in like, but like
true in person.
Yeah.
And yeah, they, I liked the reference to like, clearly they've been had great sex. Like they're in a good place.
Yeah.
But she has to leave. And he also isn't trying to stop her.
Yeah.
She also tells him that she has to go to the mall to get one of those outlets so that she can use her electronics in another country. So
she also has, it's important to note that she has a, flight in the evening. And she's, like, pushed it back, I think, for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and she has a meeting on Monday.
Yeah.
And, like, so this is the last possible flight she can take.
Yeah, so she really needs to go because I think everyone's kind of, like, pushing her through this. Like, are you really going to leave? Like, you got to go. But she has to run to the mall, which becomes an important part of the storyline. So
I thought it was interesting that because she says goodbye to a lot of characters throughout this episode. And she obviously can't say goodbye to George, but in the monologue she references a friend being hit by a bus. Which
interesting, yeah.
But yeah, I felt like it was like bringing back I'll talk about it later, but she does mention Izzy as well. Like, although she can't say goodbye to these people, there is a moment where she says their names.
Yeah. So then we go to a scene with Mare and Dare.
Yeah, I wonder, I was just thinking, should we talk about the Cali Arizona thing quick because it doesn't really
go in
with the Christina thing before we get to Christina at the hospital?
Yeah.
So, or the explosion, maybe.
Yeah.
Let's hit that.
Yeah. So there's this, Well, I just want to say, before the explosion, Mare and Dara are at their house, and Derek comes in and he says that he got a townhouse in DC.
Yes.
So, like, we're setting it up in this beginning of the episode that, like, Derek is setting up the life for them in DC.
Yep.
And I think that's important to talk about because of the interaction in the beginning of the episode that Christina and Mare have about that. And then at the end, what she ends up saying to him.
Yep.
So, Meredith, like, you can tell she's a little, like, hesitant, but I think she's kind of like, okay, this is what we're doing.
Yep. The only thing has left to do is for Meredith to sign the papers, and they have to be faxed by 7 a.m. the next morning or whatever.
So there's like a time constraint on them.
Yep. So at the hospital, April and Owen are talking to each other, which I actually thought it was very funny. She's trying to tell Owen that she's pregnant, probably just because she works in trauma with him. I just feel like it's important that he knows that. And
he's also the chief.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I always forget. I just assume Richard's chief. He hasn't been chief for years.
Years and years.
He'll never be
chief again, but he's our chief.
I love that Kepner says, she says, I will work until it falls out of me. Yeah. Kepners are built to have babies. We drop them in the field.
Yes. I also was like, that is a gross image to me of like a baby falling out of you. But I know like it's also a beautiful thing.
For sure. For sure. But yeah, so there's an explosion at the mall that... It like they don't know what the cause is, but it happens like they're on live TV and there's this big explosion and you know right away. I actually thought it was really. I feel like I'm skipping. I shouldn't have skipped ahead of this, but I just love how April's like immediately jumps into trauma, like where she excels. Like they're both yelling things.
Yeah. There is one part where it's like on the TV, like Owen's like turn that up, and in the background, so we're like hearing the news cycle be like there was an explosion at the mall. And there's like a nurse or someone in the background who goes, oh my God, there's an explosion. I don't know if you heard that, but I was like, that's ridiculous.
It was some background actress getting
their, oh yeah, like you didn't even see him, but you just hear someone go, oh my God, there's an explosion.
And so throughout this whole episode, there is mad, like I honestly did not remember.
I didn't either. You texted me about it. You're like, what is this bomb thing? And I hadn't watched the episode yet. And I was like, oh my God. You were like,
spoiler alert.
Yeah, like vaguely remember that. And in the beginning, they think it could be an act of terrorism.
Yeah, it's like very intense.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyways, I just wanted to hit on the fact that that's happening. So there's a lot of patients in and out. One of these patients is a woman who is pregnant. She's like 30 weeks, I feel like. I remember them saying. And she... is like worried about the baby, and we find out that she is a surrogate and that the people that she is like creating this baby for are really wonderful people. She loves them. Like she says something like they will break if they can't like have this. And I think it's important to note that Callie and Arizona are sort of working with this woman.
Mm-hmm. Callie's working on her arm.
Yeah.
And then in surgery, the baby goes into distress. So they call in Arizona.
Yep. And Arizona and Jackson, I believe, deliver the baby.
Yeah.
And so I just thought it was interesting how even this kind of ties into April and Jackson too, but like throughout this huge storyline, they still found ways to like touch on the other important things that are still happening in this season. Cause I feel like a season finale always has like 8 different storylines coming to a front. And I felt really good about how like, so Callie and Arizona, you know, Callie can't have a baby. We learned that last time. Arizona doesn't want to carry and Callie's not going to make her. And they have this moment with this woman who carries a baby for someone else and ends up being okay at the end. And the parents come in to like thank her. And it's this beautiful moment where like they wheel the baby in, they're hugging her. They're like just saying all these things. And Callie and Arizona are looking at each other like they didn't think this was an option.
Yeah. And they see like how beautiful this can actually be. And this could be a way for them to grow their family.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what I think they were implying there. Well,
I think so too. I thought it was really sweet. The woman who had the baby, she says, do you guys love her? Is she all right?
Mm.
And then they're like, oh my God, yes. And then they have like this like little moment where they're just looking at each other and they hug. And so it kind of leaves the storyline open. Like, yeah, like could they grow their family that way?
Yeah. I have a lot of respect for women who are surrogates.
Yeah, same. I know someone who is.
Yeah.
She has 2 kids of her own. And then I knew she was like, all of a sudden it was like, she was pregnant and then she wasn't. And then like months later did a postpartum that like she had been a surrogate. And I was like, damn.
Like that seems like incredible that people are able to do that, first of all.
Yeah.
Then willing to do that.
Right.
And women are just incredible, wonderful things, you know?
Isn't Phoebe a surrogate for her brother and friends? And it's triplets.
And it's triplets.
Oh, fuck.
And she's really sad when she has it because she wants to.
Yeah.
But then it's okay.
Yeah. Her brother is just, what a character.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just thought that was a great little, like, so we don't know where that's going to go from there, but they're sort of keeping that storyline in limbo.
Yeah. Which is nice that, like you said, like great writing that they incorporated their storyline in, like, in a very small little moment in this episode. That's really about Christina.
Yeah. And I think, too, in line with that, too, can we talk about April and Jackson?
Sure.
Just because I don't think they really had much to do with Christina.
Yeah.
So we learned, remember, at the end of the last episode that they have not talked to Catherine yet.
Yes.
And because of this explosion, Catherine ends up at the hospital. Well, I think she's there actually because of Jackson and April.
Right. I think she's coming to visit them. She finds out they're pregnant.
Yeah, because there's that moment when Richard's like, what are you doing here? Because they're fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, haven't you heard? I'm going to be a grandmother.
Yeah.
Like in her just like dramatic way.
Well, at first she's kind of like, what do you think I'm doing here? Like I'm like, there's a bomb. But then she's like, but really, she's there for her.
Yeah, and so I thought it was great how Jackson and April are working in two different separate areas this day. Jackson is with the woman who's the surrogate. He ends up being the one that delivers the baby. But before the baby's delivered, I made a note that they're wheeling the pregnant woman in, and he's like, 30 weeks, huh? Home stretch. Like, you know, and that's when we find out it's not hers. But he's just naturally all of a sudden so good and encouraging. And like right away,
he's
like, I'm expecting also. Like, I just thought it was like, I just think it's fun to see him jump into that role so quickly and use that to like as the better for his patients.
Mm-hmm.
And when he delivers the baby, I honestly think something like, obviously it's not the first one he's delivered because in med school you have to do that. So,
right.
But I think it's the first one he's delivered since going to be a parent, and he holds that baby and he says, you're okay, I got you. And there's like this very intense moment where he's like looking at it. And I just feel like he's like overcome with emotion.
Yeah, that he's expecting and he can put himself in that situation, that scenario of being a father, that being my child, that type of thing.
And being like so amazed, I think, by like, whoa, babies.
Yeah, whoa, babies.
April is looking for that little boy too.
Yeah, so at one point, and if we're going to talk about the storyline, like April, like, so April in the beginning is very much like, I'm pregnant, I'm going to work really hard. And then like, as this terrible thing happens, she's looking for this little boy. And then I think she thinks she finds the little boy and it's actually not him.
She brings the dad in and he's like, look, he's fine.
Yeah, like we had to remove like part of his lung or something, but he's going to be fine. It's like, that's not him. And so April runs into the closet and starts crying and is very upset. And Catherine finds her.
Yeah, Catherine's looking for something in the supply closet. She sees April just crying. And I think at first she's like, what? It's a bomb. Like life happens.
Yeah.
And April says something about like how scared she is or whatever. And I don't have the whole story, but April says, we live in a world where that is the first thought that crosses our minds. I don't think I can raise a child where they can die from buying a new pair of shoes, like at the mall.
Oh, I think because just to throw this in here, that like she's very upset that there was that it could have been a terrorist attack.
Oh,
and
right,
Catherine is like, it's not. It was actually a gas main break, which we find out later in the episode. And April already knows that, and that's her response. It's very sad. It's scary that that's
what our first thought in this country, essentially. Yeah, and then I thought this was like such a great, again, there are moments, Catherine isn't like my all-time favorite character, but there are moments I really, really, really love her. And she obviously, I don't think is like, not necessarily pleased that her kid's having a kid, but like it just was unplanned and whatever. And she talks a story about how her and her dad, when they were young, were out to eat at this restaurant, and these like jerk white dudes came and like threw her dad's food onto his lap and like was making like crude statements about they should get out of there, they don't deserve to be there and whatever. And April's like, well, weren't you scared? Or like, what did you do? And I guess her dad turned to her and said, you're going to finish your meal. Like, we're going to sit here and finish this. And Catherine says to April about her dad, he wasn't afraid, so they didn't have any power. There's always going to be stupid people. There's always going to be accidents, but that's not what defeats you. It's fear. And then she says, good, like, this is how the world changes. Good people raising their babies right. And I just thought that was like, I just thought that was a really sweet thing to say and like a vulnerable story for her to share also to April, which I feel like she's rarely vulnerable with April.
And a way to kind of connect with her. I want to connect what Catherine said to something that I kind of felt in the episode because I made a couple notes. So during the episode, there is a lot of like news coverage. And I wrote a couple notes about how cable news is so fear-inducing and there's so much fear-mongering and how I think, I don't think it really benefits anyone to like consume cable news.
Yeah.
Really, that's my personal opinion. And so what I think is interesting, and at one point, you know, they're questioning, they're at the hospital, they're like, they're ticking it up level by level. So they're like, maybe it's a terrorist attack. And then they tick it up to, maybe this was the plan to get all of these victims to the hospital and then they're going to bomb the hospital. And then the news team comes to the hospital and Owen runs in and is like, you don't know what you're talking about. And so I thought it was interesting too that Catherine says something about fear. Like, if you don't have fear, you take away their power. And I just thought there was kind of a running theme.
Yeah, that's good.
And maybe like a statement about, I don't know where we were in the world at that time, but we don't often see in Grey's Anatomy episodes like us watching the news.
Right. The episode starts with it too, weirdly even.
So I think they were kind of making a statement about
that's
that.
That's a good catch. Because even as stupid as the weather, Christina looks at that like, you don't know it's going to be a good day. Like, you don't. Oh, that's really interesting. Also,
I mean, that was just my perspective.
Yeah, I had a note too. I was like, we need an Owen now to go on the news and be like, fake news.
Shut up, everyone. Turn that camera off.
I was like, partly like a little like, okay, Owen, when he like did that. Because I also didn't realize they were at the hospital. So I was like, how the fuck did he get there?
He's at the mall.
But I was also like, but also good job. Because yeah, you're just like instilling fear. Also remember too, that it went from being just a bomb to like, that the radiation from the bomb because it was a dirty bomb and they were like spraying off. I was like, what the like fuck is this decon area?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was.
And then it ended up not just, but it ended up being a gas main break.
Which is total accident.
And then the stuff from like the dry cleaners is what was causing the rashes on these people.
Right.
And so, yeah, it was a total accident. And so there was all this intense fear instilled in this community, probably in this fake world across the country.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. And there was a moment too then at the end when April meets up with Jackson at the end of the day and they like hug and she says, I love you. And she says to him, our baby will be fine. She will be fine because she has us. And Jackson says, my mom always used to say that's how the world changes, good people raising babies, whatever. And April says it too, like finishes the sentence. And he's like, wait, is that a thing? And then she, I just think it's sweet because they were so afraid of Catherine and like, I'm sure she's still going to like have words.
Yeah. But I also feel really sad when she said our baby's going to be okay. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, I know. I again, like, I think when I have a note somewhere in here that's like, well, here, enjoy this last happy moment.
Yeah. Because it like,
is it not, do they not know until they have the baby?
I think they have an ultrasound.
Okay. Yeah, it's devastating.
Yeah.
I almost like feel like it is too cruel of Grace to put stories like, I mean, I know it happens, so they're trying to relate, but it's like the Amelia one.
I know. So, it's just devastating.
Yeah. I don't think I have anything. Nothing was really resolved between Richard and Catherine either, just to note.
No.
So
I guess we'll deal with that next season.
Yes.
Okay, so from here, I feel like maybe we should kind of...
go back.
Yeah, I know we're like, we'll kind of talk about Karev too and his career, but I feel like we should kind of incorporate that
just
in the storyline.
Perfect.
So...
about the sports car.
So, yeah, Karev wants to buy a boat and he may be Dr. Junior Butthole, which I think is really
funny. He wants to buy that sports car and Arizona looks at it and goes, are you looking to buy a road penis? Which, like, I love that phrase.
Yeah.
And yeah, she calls him, she says, congratulations, Lil Butthole.
The other thing that we find out in the beginning is that we think that there are going to be three open board seats, but we find out there's just going to be one because Derek and Meredith are going to, like, telecom in, and Yang wants a clean break, and the seat is open on the board.
Yes.
So we know that there's a seat open, and we don't know what's going to happen with that, but that's established in the beginning of the episode.
Yes.
And then we find out pretty quickly that that they cannot continue funding the genome lab and they're shutting it down because they are not, it's not producing the results that they want.
Yes, which is like sends Bailey like
in a spiral.
In a spiral, yep. There's also a little moment with Amelia doesn't have a lot of airtime in this episode, but the residents are referring to her as either shepherd or shepherdess.
Yeah.
And they used to say Derek's little sister, which she's like, if you ever say that in front of me again, yeah. Like, I will end you. So it's pretty much established that she's there. Like she's working at the hospital.
Yes.
And will be also around another sister is Maggie.
Yeah. So she shows up and she is the head of cardio.
She does not get along with Christina.
She's super frustrated. She confronts Owen about it, that like, when is she leaving? Mm-hmm. Pretty much Christina's doing whatever the hell she wants. And Maggie's like, this is my department.
Right. It's really interesting because like we never saw a world except for this episode with Christina and Amelia. Christina and Maggie. And I do not think that they could have functioned together.
I don't think so either.
I don't think Christina at this point could have anyone working above her anymore.
No.
The way she's like, oh, okay, cool. You go do that. She runs this hospital.
Yeah. And so then going back to the bomb and the beginning of the episode, where Christina said she was going to go to the mall, Owen is very, very worried that Christina was hurt because she was supposed to go to the mall and nobody knows where she is.
Yeah. Okay. I had a note. Question for you.
Yeah.
Did we as viewers think that she might die?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because how cruel would that have been to... I need to go back and watch the promo.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they kind of made it where like, oh my God, she's going to own this hospital in Zurich.
And then...
But fuck, it's Grace. She's actually going to die.
Yeah.
I
don't remember.
They did that as a little twist.
I think so too.
They do that.
It felt like very epic, but very shortly after she shows up with Karev.
Yes.
And he's like, well, Owen confronts Karev too.
First.
And he's like, oh crap, don't tell Meredith.
I actually thought that was really sweet that like Karev is already looking out for Mare and like knows that she cannot know that Christina might be at the mall.
Yes.
Or she won't be able to help today.
Yes.
And yeah, Karev's the first one to see her because when he's working on that child who they have fucking waterboard, that's all I can think about when they're de-conning him, is that Christina shows up and he's like, what are you doing here? Like, you know, you were supposed to be at the mall. And she's just like, whatever, I'm cutting, I'm doing this, I'm not getting on my plane yet. And then she has this moment, Christina, where she like pauses and she looks at him and she's like, I was supposed to be at the mall.
Yeah, where she like recognizes like, holy shit, this could have been me.
Yep, yep.
So then Meredith and Christina, well, first of all, I did just a quick little side storyline.
Yeah.
Meredith, there's like someone from Homeland Security and is like trying to interrogate this patient. And Meredith is like, he can't leave. And she's really advocating for the patient.
I
and
wrote
then
the
he like kind of like codes and like falls on the ground and he like won't get out of the way. And I just said that Meredith is such a badass. She says, he says, ma'am, like, excuse me or something. And she said, it's doctor. You're the boss out there. I'm the boss in here. Get out of my way.
Yeah. And I feel like this reminds me very much of, which like this man was completely innocent, which first of all, again, like just fucking, I hate it.
Yeah.
But I like Meredith. I mean, remember when like the serial killer guy was there, she treated him like a patient, like a human. And I feel like Meredith does that. She does not, there's not a hierarchy of patients for her. Like a patient is a patient and she'll treat them the same. And
because she took an oath to do that.
Yeah. And I like loved seeing that even in a small way. Also a small storyline too with the Amelia thing is Derek ends up coming to the hospital. He was going to sleep all day because he'd been traveling, but he ends up coming in. And he tries to tell Amelia what to do with all of his patients, all these new patients. And she says, he's like, this one has blah, blah, blah. I would, like, he starts to say, what do you do? And she goes, I'll know when I get in there. Like,
love
she
it.
Shuts him down and is basically like, I am just as capable of you. If you want me to take your department, then let me.
Yes.
So, loved that moment.
So then Christina and Meredith end up seeing each other in the hall. And I think this is important to talk about because...
Yeah.
Christina or Meredith ends up telling Christina, like, he got the townhouse, like, we're moving to DC or whatever. And Christina says she's happy for Mare and that, that she's going to DC. Like, she's like, I'm happy for you. But it's very clear that it's very difficult for Christina to say that. Like,
she's like side hugging her,
yeah, too. Yeah. She's like trying to be supportive, but you can tell, like, actually, Christina has different thoughts and feelings about this.
Yeah. And she's doing that side hug and she's like, people do this. Like, yeah. Mara's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Which I feel like, yeah, you're right. That moment, it's almost like disguised as it's awkward because she has her arm around her. But I also think it's awkward because she doesn't believe what she's saying.
Yeah. She's not happy for Meredith. She doesn't think it's the right choice. Yep. Which we find out later in the end of the episode.
Yep. Also, Leah's back.
And that eye.
Oh, I have a note. No thanks to this eyeball.
That eye. It's doing a thing that eyeballs shouldn't do. Coming out of your head.
Honestly, give me any other injury except to my eye.
Ooh, man. Like, anytime.
Eyes are freaky.
Oh, and anytime in, like, medical shows when they put, like, a needle into an eye or, like, there's a shard of glass sticking out of an eye.
I also texted you today that I said, like, and I'll take any pain over cervical pain.
You did. So you'll take
eye and cervical. Ooh, if I had to choose.
Eye or cervical pain.
Oh, God. Probably cervical.
Cervical, probably.
Because it's like, it's okay. I don't know.
It's your like
eye,
in you.
Your eye is not supposed to do that.
Yeah. Is your cervix supposed? I don't know. Cervix can be very pain
inducing.
They can't
numb your eye.
They can't?
I know they can, but it just feels odd.
Also, I hate the feeling of having your eyes dilated. Like, it makes me want to throw up.
Oh, I never
when you're like, when your eyes feel heavy, like, you can't like blink.
Do you know that my eyes are watering? I have really sensitive eyes, but I lie every time at the eye doctor and say I have to immediately drive to work. I cannot get my eyes dilated. And so they never. So then I make them do it without dilating my eyes and they can still fucking see back there. It's just harder for them.
Are you fucking shitting me?
I've probably had it done less than 5 times because I go every year to the eye doctor, but I hate having it done. It's just a pain because then you can't see for like an
hour. I always drive with my eyes dilated.
Do you wear those big ass sunglasses?
Yeah.
Well, one time I walked out. Like, I had them, but sun got in, and I thought I was, like, gonna die.
Yeah.
My eyes are just so sensitive.
Okay. I hate it.
I don't
like,
mind
I
the,
hate how it
I don't
feels.
Mind the yellow drops, though, that, like, when you dab your eye, like, neon yellow comes off, and then they put that blue light into you. But what it's doing, the yellow drops numb your eye, and the blue thing touches your eyeball because it to check for pressure, but you can't tell it's touching you because you're numbed. So actually, maybe I'll take an eye injury. If they can numb my eye, you don't really get what's happening.
They can they numb your cervix? They can put a shot up there.
I don't know.
I don't want any of it. Okay.
So anyways,
Murphy's here.
Leah's back and she's like in her regular clothes. And we learned also earlier that she was just like crying and eating, which I love that they continued the eating.
Yeah. And I think it's good that we recognize, like, everyone knows she's been fired now.
Yes.
So, because last episode, nobody knew. And yes. So they open it up with like, everyone knows she's crying.
And I love that she just kind of like selflessly comes in. And when she's treating that eye, she knows exactly what to do. Shane is like impressed by her work and everything. And there's that great moment, I think it's at the end, but when she's finishing with the patients and Shane says to her something about how, like, are you sure? Like, you're so good. Like, you should fight this. And she says to him about Weber, he is the greatest teacher I ever had. I have to find out what I'm good at and I will. And then I thought was interesting is the patient wakes up and she consoles her and she says to her, there was an explosion, but it's over and you're going to be fine.
Did you think she was talking to herself kind of there?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a big thing. It was terrible, but you will be okay. Mm-hmm. And I actually like love that she respects Weber so much that she knows that it wasn't spiteful. Like, she wants to find what she's good at.
And she like kind of how she said, like, she trusted him so much before. Like, why wouldn't she trust him in this pretty much?
And she takes her scrub thingy off, puts it in the trash and just walks out.
Yeah.
And that's the end of her.
Yeah. Until she comes back like a couple seasons later or whatever.
Yeah.
But so then we find out that Link has a heart. There's a heart available for him. And so Christina is going to go into surgery with Krev, but she's like, bring like the heart here. And they're like, what? No. And she's like, no, I'm going to do the surgery here, and really pushes for that. And so she's talking about that. And there's this scene where Owen kind of sees Christina in the distance.
Yes.
And then he runs up and then they're like, it's someone else or whatever. And I had this moment where I went, oh my God, that's right. Christina and Owen don't see each other again. Because I was expecting this moment of like, oh my God, you're safe, you're alive.
Yeah.
But we don't ever get that.
Right, not at all until that gallery scene.
Yeah.
And it's just, I can't imagine how scared he is.
I know, and he's just still doing his job, getting the work done. And
yeah. Yep. So she is in surgery with Alex.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
You have the quote. She says, I just have the beginning part, yeah. which she's just talking about his new job. And she says, how will you cope with the boredom of it?
Yeah. And she says, you think I wasn't paying attention. So this is her talking to Alex, which I think is kind of like her goodbye to Alex.
Yes.
She says, you think I wasn't paying attention to you proving me wrong? I mean, I thought you were competent. Well, no, when you got here, you were an imbecile, but you got competent like a decent handyman. But eventually I had to accept that you were good. Good hands, and you think fast, act faster. I mean, you'll never be as good as me, but you're very, very good. And you're putting all that talent in the drawer. Maybe you are an imbecile. And so this is kind of in reference to like her going into private practice mm-hmm. and kind of making fun of him a little bit, but also like lifting him up and being like, you're a really good surgeon.
Yeah. And I think she's also just being like, you're going to be bored doing that. Like yeah. you are, look at how you're thriving. This yeah. is what you're meant
she
to
She also
do.
Talks about like, you're never going to put a ping pong ball in something, you know, right. you're never
Oh yeah. She names all these things and he's like, wait, you knew I did that.
And yeah. That's and that's when, why she's like, you didn't think I was paying attention
yeah,
to you.
Which is just such a, I think it's really surprising to him.
Yes.
Because I think he really respects her and can't believe that she knew all these things that he did.
Yeah.
Did he do, no, he didn't do elevator surgery. George did.
George did it. Yeah.
Then also to the reason she's pushing to do this link surgery, she keeps saying is she just needs something to feel finished. Mm-hmm. And so that comes up. So also too, I have just a note, last thing about Leah Murphy, I think is Owen looks her in the eyes and says, thank you for coming in.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really sweet.
Yeah. So then Christina is like the heart shows up for Link. And so she is scrubbing in to do the surgery and Meredith shows up to talk to her.
Yes. And I don't know. They're talking about how it happened at the mall. And Christina says she like brings up the time that her and Callie played hooky mm-hmm. and like dyed and cut their hair. And I thought that was interesting. Like she doesn't say goodbye to Callie, but I love that like old throwback to an old episode yeah. of when they were roommates. And Meredith is trying to tell her, like, you cannot do this surgery. You need to go. Like, your plane is leaving. There's always going to be another one. Like, Maggie can do this. And so Christina's scrubbing, and Meredith puts her hands on her and is like, now you have to rescrub. And Christina gets really teary-eyed, which a note, which this isn't notes and trivia, but I feel like saying it now. This is the last scene they filmed together,
oh.
her and Meredith. So she says, I have to finish something here. I feel like she's doing it in her like, I have to finish something here.
Yeah.
Low voice. Nothing feels finished. Owen and I, we split over something that hasn't even happened. And we never even split up. And you and I are not finished. George is dead. Izzy is gone. And it is supposed to be me and you and Alex. And now nothing is finished. I am not finished. And Meredith says to her, you don't feel finished because this isn't the end for you. There is no finish line, no end point. You just have to go.
Which is, isn't that like the epitome of what a goodbye is?
Yeah, it never is going to feel good.
No, it's never going to feel good. I love the part too where she says like, and you and I were not finished. And I think Meredith is kind of saying like, you know, we're not, by her saying like, you don't feel finished because you're not. And like, and so Christina pretty much asked Meredith to help her leave. Like,
yes.
I can't do this on my own. And I need you to get me on that plane because she's going to just keep
delaying.
She's going to keep delaying it. She's going to stay for Owen. She's mm-hmm. going to stay for Mayor. Mm-hmm. She's going to.
For Alex even.
For Alex. She's going to, you know, stay for Link, like to finish up.
There's
patience.
Always something. Yeah. I just thought it was also. I think it's just such a good thing. Like, there is no finish line.
Yeah.
Like, it just in general. Like, there's
That's
not.
That's life.
Which, like, it's that same thing, like, oh, once I finish my to-do list, then I'll be relaxed. It's like,
yeah.
there's always fucking more.
I feel that way about grad school. Like,
yeah.
once I finish grad school, like, I'll feel super good. But then I'm in my, like, career.
Yeah.
I'm, like, not going to feel good. It's just going to be, it just keeps going and
life
going.
Life is an email inbox.
And so you literally, you have to find a way to be like present in the moment and also live in the mundane.
This feels like fucking therapy.
I mean, literally, I was like, I was talking to my therapist about this on Tuesday about like only being like 1 week into my second semester of grad school and feeling really frustrated and like nervous and like, I can't do it. And he was like, but that's part of grad school. He's like, you have the Emerald City mm-hmm. way ahead. And when applying to it, that's what's in your head. But actually being in grad school is the nitty gritty. and like the really shitty, murky stuff that you have to drudge and trudge through, that is the epitome of grad school.
It's not the end.
It's not the end. And like, honestly, I feel like grad school is hard as shit and it's really annoying work because that's the point of it.
Right.
Like, yes, you're learning things, but it's not supposed to be easy.
Right. Oh, that's such a good point. And I think too, just like, if we're always looking forward, then we're missing out on the, like, again, like the mundane, like there will be a time in our life when we are old and we'd be like, man, remember those podcast nights? Like those, yeah. Like I would do anything to just go back to a boring night where we had to talk about an episode we didn't care about.
That, like, we didn't care about. Yeah.
And that, and I think too, that is, oh fuck. That's hard.
It's really hard.
So yeah, Christina needs help.
Yeah. And so Meredith like runs her out and Christina looks at Derek. And she just says goodbye to him. Goodbye, Derek.
And he knows.
And they hug like in this really sincere way. Like, yes, he knows, like, okay, she's really going this time.
Do you think they're thinking about the fishing day? Because when they hugged, I just said, I wonder if they're thinking about the fishing day. Like,
that's one of my favorite episodes.
That and this one are in my top. But yeah, I just like, because they don't have a lot of sincere moments together.
They don't.
But I do think that there is.
Or that episode where they're sitting and drinking wine on top of the, and like, Derek is trying, like, it was like that big party and people were going to come and try and get Christina to come back to the hospital. And they just talk about flooring. And then she's like, I do have one more question. And then you think it's going to be about surgery and stuff. And then it's just like, what do you think of these floors? And he pours some more wine, you know?
Oh, you're right. They do.
Yeah, they have some nice moments.
That feels like a million years ago.
I know.
So that's her goodbye to Derek. Sweet and simple, which I feel like makes sense for them.
Yeah. Then they run into Bailey and Richard.
Yes. So Weber is having a conversation with Bailey and he finally kind of snaps and he's like, you do not belong behind a microscope. He says, I trained you to be a surgeon, and that he says straight up to her, because she's like being complaining about her genome lab. And he says there's a spot on the board open to replace Yang. Weber is recommending her. And then, so it's funny because he is telling her to go be a surgeon. Mm-hmm. And then Christina shows up and...
Also, I love Bailey calls Richard the Minister of Education.
It's like the Minister of Magic.
That's what I was thinking. It just made me laugh.
And yeah, so Christina says goodbye to them. She hugs Bailey, I should say. She like grabs Bailey and hugs Richard. And Richard says to her, go be a surgeon. That's what we trained you for. I wrote her for. But yeah, like he likes.
He says that. Does he say that to Shane?
Go be a surgeon. That's what we trained her for. No.
Oh.
He says something to Christina. I think it's...
He says he's proud.
Who am I talking about?
Well, because then Shane comes up to go...
That's what he says to Bailey. Be a surgeon.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's what I trained
her
for.
But when he hugs Christina, he says he's proud of her.
Yeah, it's like the episode of Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, proud of you.
Says proud of you.
Like Richard, her coach, her... teacher, educator, her first chief. The first person who gave her a job, you know, as an intern. I'm proud of you.
And he is. And yeah, sorry, I messed that up. Shane comes running in all of his energy and he says, I want to be in charge of my education and I choose you. I will badger you until you say yes. And Christina's like, okay.
Yeah, she's like, come
and
on.
And then he quits.
Yeah. Respectfully.
Yes.
He says, respectfully.
Right. So Shane is going with her, which I feel like.
I also love that he says he wants, did you say that? How he wants to be in charge of his education. I love that.
Yeah.
That he's like, I am like, and I think you talked about this last episode, Abby, about how things were keep being brought up about Shane that I don't think he would have gotten a fresh start had he stayed at Seattle Grace.
I don't think so either. And so I like that too. I do wish he had a little bit more of a like, I guess he sort of has that moment with her at the end. But yeah, so he's going with her to Zurich.
And then
before she leaves, she runs into the gallery.
And Owen is working really hard in the surgery and you keep hearing this like knocking and then you hear this like bang on the window. Mm. And he looks up and she just waves. And you can tell that he knows, and he doesn't want it, and he doesn't want her to go. And they lock eyes. Like, I'm very emotional. They lock eyes, and then she kind of gives him the nod to like go back to surgery type thing. And like, we're okay. It's okay. Don't leave. And he turns back to go back to surgery and he looks up and she's gone.
Gone. I just said too, it's made even more intense by the fact that, cause we always go back and watch that scene, or I have on YouTube, but I forget that he didn't see her all day and he was chasing her and wondering where she was. And it didn't even get to the point where someone told him
she's alive.
She's alive. And so I just like, I feel like that look holds so much because it's like, oh, you're alive and you're leaving and I can't do
anything. I can't leave this surgery.
It's like the only way she could have left him is him being in surgery, I feel like, and not being able to like come after her. It's really, and yeah, just the way she puts her one hand up, it's not even like, it's like a, it's like a little wave.
I'm like holding back so many tears about it.
You can let him go.
I just, I don't know. It like makes my heart hurt so bad. I know we say so much shit about Owen, but like loving someone and it just not working, it's just, there's nothing more painful than that. So.
Oh, Beach.
And I love Christina. Also, I was watching this last night and John had like, right when it was starting to get like really emotional, I was like laying in bed and John had his brother over last night. So I went up to the bedroom to watch it, and but I had like the door open. And he came upstairs to show his brother something in the office about computers. And the whole like part of the emotional part of the episode, John was talking about computers and I was trying not to cry because his brother was like, practically outside my bedroom door. I should have just shut the bedroom door. So I really don't feel I actually had the emotional response last night. And I just did like on the podcast. So I could probably cry really hard right now, but I'll move past it.
I wish you wouldn't, but we do have...
We have more to go.
It was just so... It was perfect. I also... Okay, so... Link McNeil's heart shows up them as Mara is trying to put her into a cab.
Right.
Which I couldn't believe. I was like, wait, how does she? They haven't danced it out. Like,
No.
And she says, I just can't leave them. And then Mara like shoves her in the cab and she says, what do you need? And I love you or something. And Christina just looks at her and she goes, I love you. And Mara's eyes are just so wet. Mm-hmm. And then she slams the cab door shut. The cab drives away. Christina's looking out. And okay, this is clearly, I don't think an actual connection, but like, so they're waving at each other. And Mara, I feel like, really kind of cries once Christina drives further away. It is the same, if you put that scene up to the same scene when Riggs leaves to go get Megan, it is Meredith standing with wet eyes. There's hospital lights in the background.
Everyone always leaves Mara.
And she's waving. And like, it's her that sent them off. You know what I mean? Like, gave permission for them to leave. But yeah, it's just so... I just couldn't, I was very emotional in that scene because yeah, everyone, it's like all Mare gets, Mare is like this person that sends people off without being selfish, but then is alone.
Interesting you say that because I wrote, Mare says she loves her. I love that Mare has to push Christina to do that and puts Christina before herself. I feel like Abby would do that for me.
I would shove you in a cab and then I would deeply cry.
Yeah. Like I feel like you would be like, so practical about like, get your shit done. What do you need from me? I love you. Go.
Yeah, I would be not emotional at all. Like, I would, and then I would like the next day have a breakdown.
I feel like
you have a part of you that would also help me with that.
It's my one wing.
But yeah. But I think your empathy is a little stronger and you would.
Yeah, I would break down. I would break down like Christina, who comes back.
I love that. Which before Christina comes back, Amelia. Who's Amelia talking to? Is it Meredith?
I think Meredith, because Christina grabs her.
Oh, yeah. So there's just, it's again, very tiny. Amelia's crying, and we think it's because it was like a hard day or whatever, and it's because she's so fucking happy that she did her job, she did it well, and she's like happy she's there.
Yeah.
So
Christina is back. She grabs Mare, pulls her into an on-call room, which I love, and she says, we have to finish, we have to dance it out. That's how we finish. So this is her big quote to her, to Meredith.
This is after... They dance it out.
No, this is before they dance it out.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She goes, we'll call each other at least once a month and we'll text all the time. Text me and don't let Owen get all dark and twisty. Take care of him. And Alex, take care of Alex. He needs to be mocked at least once a day or he'll be insufferable. Don't get on any little tiny planes that can crash or stick your hand in a body cavity that has a bomb in it or offer your life to a gunman. Don't do that. Don't be a hero. You're my person. I need you alive. You make me brave. Okay, now we dance it out.
And then I love there's this pause. Mara's like on her phone and Christina's like, what, are you sending them to take me away? Yeah. And she's like, I'm trying to find a song. And then they put it on, which I mean, I know in filming they weren't listening to this song.
Yeah. But like, they did like a couple versions, I think.
Yes. And but the song is that, where do you go?
Yeah.
The Tegan and Sarah.
Yeah.
Where did the good go? And they feel, I literally was like, how are we at this part of the show already?
I know.
That's just like what I felt like, because this, them dancing it out was just so, it's weird because it doesn't even happen that many times.
But I feel like it's very much beginning seasons of Grace.
Yes, agreed. And so I think it's perfect they brought it back. They're dancing so, I also feel like they are dancing as Ellen and Sandra.
Yeah.
Like it's a little bit of both. I just think it's beautiful. They have like a long extended dance it out where they're just moving around each other and then it comes to an end and they like take a breath. The music stops and she looks at her and it's like she's about to walk out the door. She turns around because she says like, you stay here. She's like, I'll go, you stay.
Yeah.
And she says, you are a gifted surgeon with an extraordinary mind. Don't let what he wants eclipse what you need.
He is very dreamy, but he is not the son you are.
And it's like, the fact even that they use the word extraordinary when that is the word that her Meredith's mother used, you know, to be like you need to be extraordinary. Like, you know, like that word holds so much punch too.
I think too that this whole season, not the whole season, but a good portion of the season, Meredith and Christina were fighting and Christina about whether or not Meredith was a good surgeon. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the last things she says to Meredith is like, you're a gifted surgeon with an extraordinary mind. Like the validation that Meredith needed. And then this truly, I believe, goes back to the beginning where she's trying to be supportive of Meredith going to DC, but she is not because she knows that Meredith has so much more in Seattle and so much more to do there.
And it's not even her career. It's just what, it says like what you need.
Yes.
Like Meredith has like what she says to Derek later, which we'll talk about, like she, her life is here.
Yeah.
She needs that.
And I love that it's don't let what he wants, not what he needs.
Right.
What There's a difference.
Yeah.
What he wants eclipse what you need. He is very dreamy, but he is not the son you are. That is incredible writing.
Yeah. And just like the fact that even that they bring it to like McDreamy, like he is, he's very, but he is not the son you are. Even
yeah.
Like the eclipse. The
yeah. And Mara looks kind of shocked.
Shocked. Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah. When Christina says that and like, I don't think she was expecting that. So that's, I think it was like, oh, fuck, I have something to think about now.
Yeah. I literally thought that was how the episode ended. I forgot all. I just kept going. And I
yeah.
was like, oh, I guess I never watched. Like, I just watched that clip.
Yeah.
So she walks out. What if Mare tells Derek she needs to stay here? Oh,
well, because the next scene is Mare doesn't want to sign the papers.
Right.
And she wants to stay in Seattle. And this is kind of like going back and forth. I feel like Mare and Derek kind of get into an argument. Then we have like Callie in Arizona, like looking at the surrogacy thing. Then we kind of come back to Mare and Derek. So it's like that ending, like roundup of yep. things.
There's always a great song.
Yeah. And then like Karev, we'll talk about that. But do you want to do the Meredith thing and Derek one first to kind of wrap that up, I feel like?
Yeah. So then there's a bunch of stuff happens, but then it goes back to Mare and Derek in their house. And I didn't get this beginning part of this quote. You have the full quote. But there's this part before what you have where she says something about, like, you wanted more pieces and more pieces of me. And all I could think about is the speech Christina gives about Burke.
Oh,
like
yeah.
that, I feel like Meredith is learning from Christina's experience with Burke not to let a man take pieces from her. And
yeah.
I think this move to DC is a piece that Derek would be taking.
Yeah. Meredith at one point says, like, you told me that, like, this year was going to be about me,
mm-hmm.
and it's not. Like, all of a sudden, now we're moving to DC. And Derek says, sorry, I lied. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I was like, that is a horrible apology. That's not an apology. Sorry, I lied, but it's
yeah.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And then he says, like, you have an opportunity here, too. And then she said, yeah, like my dad, like they wanted
yeah.
my mother so bad that they had to find Thatcher a job. She said, it's called a trailing spouse. And then he ends up calling Meredith selfish, which I thought was extremely uncalled for. And her retort was, I have to be Derek because you believe your career is more important than mine. And he says, which is also, he says, at this moment in time, it is. And she says, not at this moment, always. Mm. And it's with her more
then,
after that.
Then she says, you will always be the hotshot surgeon and I will always be the young intern who fell in love with you. She says, I live here. My life is here. I don't want to leave. It's really weird. I was trying while you were talking about those lines, like to put myself in Derek's shoes because I can, not that I can see myself doing that, but I like the circle in our relationship, like my career has led a lot of like where we're living and why we don't move and, you know, all these things. And I do think there's like a little bit of legitimacy to the fact that like, it is just poor timing. Like this career that Derek's offered is a once in a lifetime. But like you said, the problem with it is that I feel like he did tell her this was her year and it wasn't a discussion of what can we do, or they had one and she said no and he went with it anyways. Like I think
that's the biggest thing.
And also if his track record hadn't been already doing this, like if the whole rest of the relationship had been mare forward, but it hasn't really been.
No, and I think that's what she's calling out is like, I am being selfish because it's always been about you. And granted, she was an intern, he was an attending. Like, but she needs it to be about her. And he promised that this year would be about her.
Right.
And so even at the end, I feel like she kind of offers like, you can go, but I'm staying. Like you can find a way to make this job work, but I'm not leaving. My family's here. Like yeah. I built my life here.
Which I do, it's hard because then he says something like, so you're making me choose between my career or my family. Kind of like ends there. I don't know. I very much like, I think that Derek can gaslight a lot and like
yeah.
his things. I empathize with his frustration, like that you're given sure. this like career lifetime of an opportunity and all these things. Like, I don't want people to listen to this and think like, oh, you mean this like dream job isn't like, should just be thrown under the table. But it reminds me of the Owen and Christina, like, fake timeline where like neither of them could be happy.
Yeah.
It feels like that. Like it feels like either Derek's going to be resentful or Meredith is. Like there's not, they're both.
Unwilling to compromise.
Yes. And they both want to be at the top of their careers, which I just think is really hard when you yes. like, yeah. So.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think if Derek would have more of a conversation about it instead of telling them like, it's not like he's telling her what to do, but he's making her feel bad about her being irritated that this opportunity yeah, is yeah. is and like and being sad and being like, well, I want this too. And him just kind of being like, well, you can have that at some point. Or you can have that at this one job that I got for you at James. Like you can do right. your research, you can do the portal vein thing there. And she's like, but my family, like my right. life isn't there.
The hospital is named after her sister.
Yeah, that too. Like, you know, I was raised here. My mom mm-hmm. was here. Her name is written all, which we find out at the end of the episode. Like, it's all over that hospital. And she's not willing to give that up. And yeah.
I don't blame her. Yeah, it's not just like she works there. She owns it.
Yeah.
Like, partially owns it. Why wouldn't you want to work at the hospital that you make the choices for?
Yeah.
So, that's kind of how it ends with them. Just to rewind a little bit. Mm-hmm. When it's in that montage, just need to note that Link, the surgery went well. Maggie did it. He's yeah. fine, which what a relief to like for that family. There's a sweet scene with Ben and Bailey in bed. Ben is rubbing Bailey's feet and she is so excited about this possible opening on the board. And she says, I will make policy, not just hear it. I will make changes. We can have a genome theme park. Mm-hmm. And then they like, ha, 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 laugh. And then she says, Weber picked me. And I think she feels a great amount of like pride in that.
Which is then squashed.
I forgot about how this.
So
yeah.
Joe and Krev are about to make sweet, sweet love. And the roll over and there's this big envelope. And
says evil spawn.
And Krev opens it. And Joe's kind of like, what? Like, what is this? And it's. Christina shares to the hospital and like all of the documentation information given to Karev for him to take the place on the board. And Joe's like, is that even like, can she do that? Can she just give that to you? And he's like, I don't know, but she did, you know? So yeah. that comes after Bailey thinks that she's going to be the one on the board.
I forgot that. And I don't remember how it goes.
I do.
Okay, tell me after.
Okay.
So we'll quit chat, really just say about the Maggie thing, but we're going to go in depth and post-op. But Richard, Maggie had a rough day. She sits down on the bench and she's talking to him about just how her day and everything. And we'll go into detail in the post-op, but basically we find out that Alice Gray is her mother.
Yeah.
And fucking Richard is
stunned. And we're going to talk about that.
Yep.
So then after that happens, Meredith says, I am staying here. Mm-hmm. And then it goes to Zurich and we see...
Green screen.
Did you
the
see
pictures?
The pictures of her and Mary and then the one of her having baby Bailey?
Yep. I wrote the photos.
Yeah. And then...
She looks great. She's wearing a fucking snakeskin dress.
And Shane comes in and says, Dr. Yang, they're all ready for you.
And it's Dr. Christina Yang, head of cardio... I don't remember what it says.
Yeah, but head of on the everything. Door.
And they just look great. They're just...
Yeah. And that's
Do you think they have sex? Do you think they're all done with that?
I think they're done with that. I think he just wants
You don't think every once in a while?
No. Okay. I think she'll find she's married to surgery.
I was like, wait, who's she married to?
She's married to surgery.
Yeah, then she shuts the door on that and it's shutting the door on the Christina Yang storyline.
Yeah. So I have one stray note and it's God, the music in this episode is so intense.
Yeah, I have one that says the episode's energy is at a 10. I needed to calm down. It was like when everything was happening with the terrorist attack, which again, I did not remember that being a storyline.
Yeah.
And that guy being like, we gotta find out who it is.
Yeah.
I just feel that this was a perfect Grey's episode because it had the drama of an explosion and mm-hmm. like the what comes with that. It had happy moments. It had throwbacks where it talks about things that happened in the past, which I feel like is such good fanfare, or what's the word for that? The podcast ghosts are screaming at me. There's a word for it. Like when it's like for the fans.
Fan serving?
Yeah, fan service. Thank you. And I loved it. I even loved those fucking ghosts that showed up in that one episode. Remember the like monogrammed Derek and the dog that like waved to Meredith?
Oh, yeah.
I am here for that. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I love a good flashback. I love a good thing. I felt like it honored her character so well. And it set out for the next season, like not really a cliffhanger, but like you just are excited to watch.
Yeah. Totally agree.
A lot of people I think stopped watching. This episode, which really you could have been okay with.
Like, yeah, I mean, this could be a nice, well, I guess like we don't know what Mare and Dare are going to do, but like Callie and Arizona seem like a good, hopeful. I feel like everything got wrapped up besides Mare and Dare, which is interesting because season 11 is very much about like their tumultuous time trying to like figure out their love. And then they kind of like wrap up in the end of season 11, although it doesn't end well, but like their love for each other, like it's like kind of reignited
it's crazy how they ended this. I wonder if they knew if he was going to leave the show at this point or how, but yeah, it's just, again, it's just weird that the very dreamy parts of them are done.
Yeah. Do you want to do notes and trivia?
Yeah, let's do it. This episode's title originated from the song Fear of the Unknown, originally sung by Sweezy and the Banshees? Susie? Spelled really weird.
This episode scored 8.92 million viewers.
The filming was scheduled from April 11th to April 23rd, 2014, but information from social media says it wrapped on the 24th.
This is the last episode to be directed by Tony Phelan. As he leaves the show after this season, other crew members who left the production team after this episode are Joan Rader and Deborah Kahn.
It also marks the last episode for Sandra Oh, Gaius Charles, and Tessa Ferrer to appear as Christina Yang, Shane Ross, and Leah Murphy, respectively, as main cast members. This makes this episode the one with a record number of cast members leaving it, although the record is shared with All of Me. Is that the one where, like, Arizona and
maybe.
April leave, maybe?
I'm not sure. The title clip shows a collage of pictures of Christina in episodes like A Hard Day's Night. Oh,
yeah, there's like a collage of her and her face in the middle.
Oh, okay. A Hard Day's Night. The first cut is the deepest. Raindrops keep falling on her head. Enough is enough. Didn't we almost have it all? Dream a little dream of me, part one and two. Death and all his friends. Adrift at peace. Going, going, gone. And Do You Know, thus featuring at least one photo of every season except for season 8. This has never been done before or since for other leaving cast members.
I want to watch all of those episodes. I bet they're like all iconic.
Oh, I'm
Christina
sure.
Christina ones. Sandra Oh filmed her last scene on April 24th. This particular scene was the goodbye scene between, was between Owen and Christina. Fuck.
Well, you said the last scene between Mary.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait.
Christina saying goodbye to
Derek. Oh, Christina saying goodbye to Derek will be the last time that she ever saw him in person as he died several months later.
Not Patrick Dempsey.
Right.
Just a note. The last scene Sandra shot with Ellen Pompeo was the scene in the scrub room where Christina tells Meredith she's not finished yet.
In the episode, all catastrophic events are mentioned, from the derailment of the train to the plane crash. Also mentioned are George and Izzy.
Well, William Harper is credited writer for this episode. Shonda Rhimes stated that she wrote most of Christina's exit herself.
According to Justin Chambers, Sandra Oh ad-libbed the line suction in the OR scene with Christina and Alex. Apparently, whenever the characters operate together, Alex would always have to suction for Christina, so much so that it became a running gag between the actors. Oh, I love that.
The song Where Did the Good Go, which was played in this episode, was previously played in the season 1 episode No Man's Land.
This is the last episode to have Katerina Scorsani credited as a guest star, as she was updated to a series regular on June 23rd, 2014, in time for season 11.
Catherine Fox Award. I said Christina, but then I also said Meredith. I just feel like they have to double.
I said, double team it. Totally agree. Like, I think they both have
to. As a duo, they win this one.
Yeah, as the Twisted Sisters.
I just saw your rating.
Yeah.
I rated it 11 out of 10 scalpels.
And I said, I will raise you 12 out of 10 scalpels.
Perfect. So the official rating is 100 out of 10 scalpels.
It's just too good.
It's 23 out of 10 scalpels.
Yeah. Love Christina Yang, and she honestly, I feel like represents so. I was talking to John last night after I watched this episode. We sat on the front porch, and I said, "Tomorrow we're recording our final episode about Christina Yang," and I said I was very emotional about it. And I like told him the line about the sun and the eclipse, and I like told all these stories about like how Shonda Rhimes wrote for Christina Yang and like how she's never been back on the show and just all these different things. And he was like, she seems like a really, like, wonderful character, you know? And I just said that she's just our favorite character, and she's really, really special to us both. And I'm really sad that, like, I remember we kind of started this podcast for Christina, and I think we have a great love for Meredith and many other characters, but it's weird that we're here.
I think this wasn't this the episode that we watched?
I think this is the one that we decide. Well, we also watched the musical episode.
Right. But we also did this podcast for that. But I feel like then we went down the sad lane where we were like, let's watch scenes that make us cry. And this was definitely like
one of them.
Yeah. Like I just.
If not the one.
Yeah. I just still, I mean, even watching it for the first time, I remember thinking, wow, like that was a good.
It was a good goodbye.
Yeah.
And we've said it this whole, like, 10 seasons that I truly believe Christina Yang has one of the most incredible character story arcs of like television.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I think they did her an incredible justice.
Yeah, I even think it's better than the Game of Thrones arcs. I'm saying it.
Oh, you did it.
Because those didn't
you
end
took
well.
Us there.
Those didn't end well. This was a even keeled arc.
Yes.
It's also crazy to think the beginning of the season was spent them fighting the whole time.
Yeah. And it seems so long ago, but for them to wrap it up so beautifully and to know that she still makes, like, Sandra Oh doesn't make any cameos, but Christina Yang does.
Yeah.
To know that Mare and Christina are still friends later on makes me very happy.
I mean, also to know in current season, spoiler alert, Christina sends McWidow to Meredith.
Yes.
Which is just fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's also really wonderful to appreciate the actress Sandra Oh. I, like, love her as a human so much, and her work on Killing Eve is so beautiful. And just, like, she... I will say 1,000 times, like, you all need to watch her Actors on Actors YouTube video where she interviews Kerry Washington. Like, they each interview each other because she is so thoughtful.
Yeah.
And also, if you want a little homework for our next few episodes, there is a YouTube... I'll post it in the Facebook group. It's been posted before, but I'll try to share it again. And I'll put it in the show notes if I can for previous listeners. But it is the, like, bonus that was on the season 10 DVD set. It's like 30 minutes long, and that Sandra Oh goes into the writer's room or the editing room, and this like editor that's known her for 10 years shows her some of these scenes, and she's never seen them before. Like, it's her first time watching them.
Wow.
Like, one of them is the fishing one. They talk about that. And so I just feel like it's a really beautiful thing. And we're still going to talk about her for two more episodes. So just a reminder, if you have thoughts or you want to share your favorite episode or scene, get specific. Like, we'd love to hear specific things you love about it. Send them in to us.
We would love that. And if you want to stick around and hear what we have to say about Maggie and Richard after we call Time of Death, if you're listening on the Patreon app and you are a $10 patron, you'll get that post-op.
Yep. So,
do you want to call our last Time of Death on Christina? Well, I guess we have two more, but on her actual episode.
Yeah, let's do it. Time of Death, 2117.
Beep.